tune out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday, the 10th of April, 2026, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. It's Friday. Once again, it's the end of the week, and that means we have a special guest with us here today, all the way from Texas, Mr. Grandpa Dan. Grandpa, how are you doing today? How are you, sir?
Well, it's the end of the week, you know, and it's the end of my pocketbook. It's the end of everybody's pocketbook because all of our money is going in our gas tanks thanks to these brilliant moves by Trump. Our gas prices are going through the roof and torpedoing our economy. But other than that, Sven, I'm doing great as always. You know, you just got to keep on keeping on.
Yeah, we were discussing that yesterday with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson, talking about how really it's a capitulation to Iran's demands, really. I mean, they have expanded their territory at the end of it by about 20% with the Strait of Hormuz. And what has everybody else got to show for it? Well, their gas prices have increased by 50% in some places, as you're just pointing out there. But we're not going to be talking about Iran today, and we're not going to be talking about trannies either, or the latest woke ridiculousness that we see. We're actually going to be talking about the British Home Secretary today, Shabana Mahmood. And I just have to make it clear that we're not doing this because she's non-white. I don't think it would matter what race they were. The British Home Secretary would still fail to put a stop to illegal immigration. And if it came down to it, because she is non-white, I think that she would want to be seen to be not biased in favour of Muslims. And I think it would make her try all the harder to actually put a stop to the illegal immigration. But I just don't think that they're possible to. It's like Rishi Sunak. He wanted to put a stop to illegal immigration. I think he genuinely wanted to. But they just cannot do that with the way that the system is at the moment. If they were to slow down on the immigration, then there wouldn't be enough debt. There wouldn't be enough funds in circulation in order to pay the interest off, which is all that they actually pay off on the debt. So they have to have a continuous increase of people, which is the reason why we have migration, effectively. It's why I believe we have migration. But I thought what we could do today is just have a look at some of these decisions that she has made, because they are absolutely ridiculous. I think she is genuine, but none of them can actually think straight about this problem, I think. Just have a listen to this one. UK Home Secretary removes incentives for illegal migrants to come to Britain by offering them £40,000 to leave once they get here. And this is quite serious. This is what she's actually doing. Labour has announced a reduction of more than £400 million in asylum-related expenditure as part of its ongoing efforts to deter irregular migration to the UK. So that's about half a billion dollars, I'd say. Provisional figures for 2025 overseas development assistance reveal that in-donor refugee spending within Britain has fallen by £432 million, representing a 15% decrease from the previous year. This marks the lowest level of in-donor refugee costs since 2021, with overall spending now sitting £900 million below the peak recorded in 2023, which must have been about £1.5 billion, I guess. The savings mark a positive start to a string of wider reforms aimed at restoring control to the immigration system, as announced by Home Secretary Shabana Mahmood. The reduction has been driven primarily by the closure of asylum hotels, with fewer than 200 such facilities now operational across the country. But they haven't closed these hotels in order to kick these people out of the country. They're still putting them up. They're just putting them up in other venues, basically. In some cases, they're giving them council houses, and they're also putting them up in multiple occupancy properties. They're also putting them up in army barracks. So they're still putting them up, and this hasn't stopped any of the other problems that come with the migrants. All they've done is stop putting them in hotels, and she thinks this is a big saving. But listen to this saving that she's going to make. Accommodating a single adult in hotel accommodation costs approximately £53,000 annually, making the shift away from these sites a significant source of savings. The Home Secretary recently unveiled plans to use cash incentives to further encourage failed asylum seekers to leave Britain, with a pilot scheme offering up to £40,000 to select families. So looking at that, she's saying, well, that saves us £13,000 if we give one of these families £40,000 to leave the country. What a great saving. And she seems to think that this is taking an incentive away from these people to actually come to Britain. I mean, what they should be doing is offering the people that are already here money to go back to their ancestral homelands, not saying that you'll give it to people when they've just got here as illegal immigrants. It's like saying we'll give you a £40,000 prize if you can get to Britain. I'm quite amazed that they're actually doing this. When I first heard about it, I thought, well, this is going to be for people that are already here. But no, it's for people that actually come into the country. Now, if you look at British people that are on benefits or whatever, imagine giving them £40,000. I mean, that's pretty much half the amount of money that it would take to buy a property. You could just give that money to the British people, and half of them, you could lift them out of poverty and give them their own property. But instead, they're talking about just giving this to migrants. It says, when compared to the cost of housing them at sites across the UK, cash sums handed to migrants are argued to actually relieve the strain on the taxpayer. Well, how about we just don't pay anything for them? How about we just send them back to France, or send them back to some other middle country that says that they will accept them? What about somewhere in Greece? We could hire an island from Greece. Apparently, they don't have very much money. You could hire an island from someone in Africa, or a place in Africa, and just send them there. I mean, to say that this is going to relieve the strain on the taxpayer by handing them £40,000 is just unbelievable. Alex Norris, Minister for Border Security and Asylum, said this government is driving asylum costs down, saving nearly £1 billion in overall costs last year, and we are removing the incentives that draw illegal migrants to Britain in the first place, including by closing every single asylum hotel, which have become a burden on local communities. We will not stop until order and control to our borders is restored. So they're removing the incentives by closing down the hotels and then offering them £40,000 to go back home, which I think is a far bigger incentive than it was staying in a four-star hotel. What do you make of this, Grandpa? I mean, how can they seriously come out with a suggestion like this?
It's not serious. This is what theater looks like. You know, this is what it looks like when they want to look like they're doing something and they're not. I mean, this is... They act like, and you see this all over, no matter what these issues are, they act like, oh, this is so complicated. You know, this is a very complex issue. This is a very complex issue, and we have to have a committee, and we have to study, and we have to hem and haw. And it's not. These are not complex issues. They're very straightforward. They just don't want to solve them. Everybody knows when you can take a regular, I'm not a super high IQ person, I could tell you how to fix this. You know, anybody on the street could probably give you a reasonable pathway to fixing this issue. It's not complicated. They want to present it as complicated, so they have an excuse not to solve the issue. It's only an issue because it's unpopular with the public, and they want to do it anyway. So they have to look like they're trying to do it, but it's just so complicated, and we can't figure it out, but we have this brilliant plan and that brilliant plan. And, you know, I had to laugh at this idea of removes incentives by paying you $40,000. I mean, like, if I was from one of these countries, I would literally go take a vacation, ride the boat, take a vacation in Britain, collect the $40,000, the 40,000 pounds, it's not dollar pounds, but 40,000 pounds sterling, and then go back home. Because probably in the country you came from, you could probably live off of 40,000 pounds, like literally for the rest of your life and live quite well. Why would you not do that? That's what I would do. You know, you're going to get mad at these people when they decide to do that? Because that just makes sense. When people get mad, they're like, oh, these people are, they come in and they game the system when you hear of something like that. And it's like, the problem isn't the people gaming the system. The problem is the system is so stupid and corrupt that it sets that up. I would literally go from, if I lived in one of these poor countries, I would go in, get my 40,000 pounds and go home and live a life of leisure for the rest of my life. You know, I mean, why would you not do that? And have the nerve to present a plan like this and say, oh, this is this reduces the incentive. No, it creates. It literally creates the incentive. I mean, why would you not do that? Why you couldn't even get mad at the people for taking advantage of that? Because if you could live off of that for the rest of your life in your home country, how would you go over there, collect my 40,000 pounds and go back home? Live a life of ease. It's a brilliant plan. This is just what it looks like when they try to pretend they're solving a problem, but they're not. They're not trying to solve a problem. They want to do this. We're at the point the great replacement is no longer a conspiracy theory. It's out of the open. You know, they want to do this. The public doesn't like it. So they're trying to just keep, you know, throwing words around and keeping the public confused, dismayed, hypnotized, if you would, with their eloquent lines of BS. And while they continue to do what they want to do that the public doesn't like. These are not complicated issues to fix. You send the people back where they came from.
Well,
you know, refuse.
I can say it's actually $50,000, Grandpa. $50,000 is about what, 40,000 yeah. pounds is. Could you buy a property over there in America for that?
Well, no, not much. I mean, our the dollar's plummeting, and that's only going to get worse as the petrodollar. We're not going to get off into that. But as the petrodollar is coming to an end, and that's obviously accelerating with this ridiculous blunder in the Middle East, no, our inflation is so bad, you're not going to buy much of a property for $50,000 in America. You can't. Hell, we're probably 6 months away from that. It'll cost that much to put gas in your car. I don't know. Are we headed for Weimar levels of inflation? I don't know. But I mean, again, if you're from a poor country, if you're from one of these poor countries, you could live on $50,000 probably for the rest of your life and live quite well in your poor country. I would go over there, collect the $50,000 and just go home. You know, no need to try to stay, especially as the quality of life. I mean, why would you want to stay? I got to poke a little fun. Why would you want to stay in Britain? You know, especially, you know, like in England. Why would you stay in England? The weather's crappy. Y'all's food leaves a bit to be desired. No offense, Sven. I mean, why would you want to? You would just go over there, collect the money, and go home. You probably have a better life back in your own back in your own country. Who wants to live in Britain? I wouldn't. But collect the money and go home. That's the plan. That's what I would do. Hell, if they'd let me do it, I would come over there and collect the money. But see, unlike these people coming over on the boat from France, if I went over to Britain, I wouldn't be able to leave the airport because I'm probably on a list of some sort, and I don't get the $50,000. So. No $50,000. I could use $50,000 for sure, but no $50,000 for you, Sven. No $50,000 for me. I'm sorry.
You know, I'm sure there are British citizens that could do that would happily take that amount of money and then move out of the country to some of these third world countries that these people are coming from. I mean, $50,000, 40,000 pounds. That's a lot of money. You could you could live quite comfortably with that, and yet she is quite correct when she says, well, that's actually making a saving of £13,000. We would save the country money by doing this. So what that really shows you is how ridiculous the whole government's policy is with illegal immigrants. If it's going to save £13,000 per illegal immigrant, you just hand them £40,000 and say bye bye to them. you've got a broken system, haven't you? Or as you point out there, Grandpa, it has to be deliberate why they're actually doing this. And another of these policies that they had was this one in, one out. And I think that came out before Shabnam Mahmood became the Home Secretary. And that was effectively every so often we would be allowed to send one person back to France. And then France would not just take that one person back, but they'd give us one person that France didn't want. And this was touted as being this this great deterrent as well, until it turned out that I think they've only actually sent about 35 back, and some of them have actually come back over from France, and it's cost more money to actually implement the system than it has actually stopped people from going over there. But as I say, we can't lay that at the foot of Shabnam Mahmood. That was Keir Starmer's policy. Another one of Shabnam Mahmood's policies, however, is this one. And this is about boats going over to France, the British Navy, and just turning them around there. France has rejected a proposal from Shabnam Mahmood to allow British Border Force vessels to intercept and return small boat migrants across the channel. The Home Secretary tabled the plan as part of negotiations to renew a multi-million pound migrant patrol deal. I mean, just the fact that Britain would pay France to protect Britain's borders. I mean, it makes no sense whatsoever. Britain should be protecting its own borders. France is more than happy to wave goodbye to these migrants as they go across the channel into Britain. And the fact that we're giving them money on top of that, I mean, again, it just makes Britain into a laughingstock. Well, this current agreement that we had with them was due to expire in March, but was extended by 2 months while talks continue. Under the proposal, British Border Force vessels would intercept small boats before they reached UK waters and return the migrants to northern France. However, French authorities rejected the plan as it would have required British vessels to enter French territorial waters. And I think what they really mean is they've rejected the plan as it meant that the migrants that France had just got rid of would then actually be coming back. I mean, why would they want to do that? Why would they want to allow these migrants back into their country when they know that they just bring chaos and destruction with them? Look at what they've done to the parts of France where they have these migrant camps. The people that live there, they can't live there, basically. They've had to move out. There's too much danger living alongside them, having them in your back garden, these migrants in your back garden, in your kitchen, making a mess of things, threatening people, raping people. I mean, France is going to be quite happy to actually get rid of them, aren't they? The idea that they would just take them back. And what they're saying is it's because we're having this problem of actually stopping them. We need more money, Britain. Give us some more money. And if we've got more money, then we'll do a little bit better at stopping them. And we've all seen the videos of these boats leaving the French beaches and the French police say, oh, no, we can't go into the water. It would mean that we get our feet wet. And, oh, no, we can't just pop these inflatable vessels because it means there might be a risk of drowning. Well, can you not just pop it before they actually put it in the water then? And the whole thing just has reeks of a scam, basically, that France is doing just to get money out of Britain. The two sides are understood to be at an impasse, with Britain pushing for a migrant detention centre in Dunkirk and an increase in French patrols. The extension of the current deal is costing British taxpayers £16.5 million and is set to expire at the end of next month. Ms. Mahmood has proposed a payment by results model for the new agreement and is seeking a higher interception rate than the current 35%. A former Home Office source previously told The Times that France had rejected a target of 80%. And of course, if the British Navy was over there stopping them, it would be 100%. I mean, it'd be quite easy to stop 100% of these boats. You would just turn them around. I mean, really, you could do this in Libya. They could just encircle Libya, and any of these boats that try to get across from Libya to Spain, they could just take them back to the Libyans. And I'm sure the Libyans would be happy to do that, especially if they were to give them some money to do so. I mean, it's very easy to solve these problems, but it's just the way that they go about these things. It's too difficult for France to stop them. I mean, what do you make of this, Grandpa? This rejection of the British Navy dropping these migrants off? I mean, it never had a hope of passing, did it, really?
I'm glad you brought up Libya, because who took part in that? You know, UK, France, America, you know, didn't have that problem before. Oh, see, the government created the problem and then sits here and wrings their hands and acts like this is so complicated. Well, you know, yeah, you said they could send the mighty British Navy out and encircle Libya and keep these people from coming. But if they hadn't bombed Libya and removed Gaddafi in the first place, maybe that wouldn't be an issue. And you always have to come back from that because you got to own it. You know, these governments have to own it. They can't shirk responsibility. They're responsible for it. You know, I mean, a certain number of these people are coming because these governments, these same governments that act like, oh, we're trying to solve this problem, created it by destroying the countries that were there. You know, so it comes back to these governments causing the issue. And now they're doing, like I say, they're doing this whole kabuki theater about trying to solve the issue. I was sitting here, you know, we were talking about this back and forth they're having with France, and I'm thinking, what would Britain in the 1700s have done if France continued to send an invading force of people across the English Channel? I wonder how Britain in the 1700s would have reacted to that. And that, you know, and again, that just highlights that they don't really want to. Like I said before, these are not difficult problems to solve. You know, you start sending, intercepting the boats, and you send them back where they came from. If they say, well, I'm not going to tell you where I came from, so you can't send me back, you just have a country that is preferably the most gosh-awful place you can imagine, and you pay them a certain amount to tell them. So, fine, you're not going to tell me where you came from. You're going to this place. And then they would probably tell you. And you put like a 60-day notice on that's going to be your policy. And after the 60 days, you announce that after the 60 days, your policy will be to simply use your navy to sink the boats. And people will quit coming. You can't just start sinking the boats right away because that, you know, you got to at least give people a chance, a heads up. But that's what you do. You know, it's that simple. I said, what would Britain in the 1700s do if France was doing this? It would be considered an act of war. You know, and France is sitting there and they're just dibbling back and forth. Oh, well, I want a little more money. Well, I'll pay you a little more money. Come on. It kind of reminded me of these Gulf states whining that Iran is bombing them when they're allowing the U.S. to launch strikes on Iran from their bases in their country. It's, you know, how is it that France is allowing this to come over and then acts like, you know, well, you know, we're just trying to help you solve the problem. And we, you know, let's give me some money in this back and forth. You know, it's just, again, it's theater. Britain in the 1700s wouldn't have tolerated this for a minute. They would have shut it down right away. But you don't have that. You have this ridiculous back and forth about who's going to pay for this. And, oh, we can't stop them. And it's just, you know, they try to act like this is some sort of natural disaster or something. You know, it's like we couldn't help that. You know, if a hurricane comes in and wreaks damage, you can't do anything about that. It's an act of nature. And they try to act like this migration is an act of nature, and it's not. These governments caused it to begin with by doing things like removing Muammar Gaddafi and Libya. They caused the problem, and then now that the problem is here and the people don't like it, now they're doing this theater to pretend they're trying to solve the problem that they themselves created. You know, it's just more evidence of how illegitimate and utterly corrupt every one of these democracy systems is. And all you're going to get, I'm going to tell you right now, all you're going to get is more theater. I don't care who you vote for. Don't care what party you vote for. Don't care who is there. Don't care if your home secretary is this person or somebody else. It doesn't matter. You're going to continue to get the exact same results because it's the system. It's not the party. It's not the individual people. It's the system. And yeah, I think more and more people all across the West in these democracy governments, you know, that are living under these systems, I think the more and more people are coming to that realization. I think it's coming to a head in a crisis of legitimacy. And I brought this up multiple times. My take on, you know, the Tories losing to the Labour Party wasn't because everybody woke up one day and said, wow, I love Labour. No, they woke up one day, the Tory voters woke up one day and said, there's no point in voting for these clowns anymore because they never do what they say they're going to do. You know, here in America, I've said, you know, we're trailing behind that. And I think we're getting really close now to catching up to it. But the Republican voters are going to reach the point that they're not going to bother going out and voting anymore. You know, the Trump was their last stand. He was going to make America great again, which people thought meant no more wars, you know, actually focusing on fixing our broken country. And instead, we just get Benjamin Netanyahu. Doesn't matter who you vote for. You know, so you wind up with a crisis of legitimacy. And that is, I think, ultimately going to be the answer to all of these problems is the crisis of legitimacy. And I guess I'm getting a little off on a tangent, but the crisis of legitimacy reaches a tipping point where the systems can't stand anymore, you know, where nobody's buying in. They're not buying their word games any longer. And then they're not playing this game of, oh, look, we only spent $35,000 instead of $50,000. We saved $15,000 when you shouldn't be spending anything at all. You know, what are you talking about? We're not housing them in 5-star hotels anymore. We're housing them in private residences. I mean, there's the answer. No, come on, that can't keep going on. And I think more and more people. I've always been skeptical of the idea the answer is to quote unquote wake people up because certain segment of the population seems incapable of that, but. As things affect people more and more personally, they do quit buying. It's not that they really get keen on the details and the nuance. They just understand it affects them negatively, and they'll come to understand that it doesn't matter how much you vote or who you vote for, you keep getting the same results, and they just quit complying with the system. They quit going along with it, and I think a lot of the democracy countries are headed in that direction. Sorry for the tangent, but it is kind of all related, I think.
Well, it's good that you bring up the 1700s Great Britain there. I mean, 17th century Great Britain would never accept this idea, oh, well, they're not French citizens, so it's not our problem. Well, they're coming from your beaches, as you pointed out, as mainstream politicians have pointed out. It's an invading force. It's an invading army that is actually coming from French beaches. And that's the way that it should really be dealt with. You can't get away with saying, well, they're not French citizens, so it's not our fault. It's not our problem. I mean, what do they say when migrants come streaming in from Belarus into Poland? Do they say, oh, well, it's not Belarus's fault, or it's not Putin's fault? Well, of course they don't. They blame Russia and they blame Belarus for the migrants coming in because they are coming in through Russia, effectively. So it's Russia that is allowing it to happen. And they've admitted that's asymmetrical warfare is for this problem in Ukraine and Europe's support for Ukraine. And Russia and Belarus are sending all these migrants into Poland. And that's their way of dealing with it. And they say this is... this has been deliberately done, and this is all Putin's fault, and this is all Belarus's fault. But they don't say that with France, do they? They say, well, we'll just have to give France more money, and we'll have to buy more police helicopters for them, and we just don't know what else we can do, and we'll just have to offer these migrants £40,000 to go back home when they get here. Well, as we know, these migrants cause a lot of problems. Not all of them, but some of them cause a lot of horrific problems like rape and murder. And in Scotland, the Scottish police have got a novel way of dealing with this. Schoolgirls in a Scottish town have been handed rape alarms by police over fears they were being stalked by illegal migrants being housed in a nearby hotel. The intervention from officers came after it was alleged that the men had been taking photos of the girls in between lessons in Dumfries. One concerned mother has claimed the harassment has left some girls feeling too frightened to walk the streets of the Scottish town. The hotel migrants have been spotted hanging around the school and ogling at children during break times, according to The Sun. So instead of dealing with this, instead of arresting them, instead of removing them, instead of prosecuting the people that actually put them in a hotel right by a school, they're saying, well, it's the schoolgirls' problem, isn't it, really? We'll just give them these rape alarms, and that they can just press the button on that rape alarm if one of these migrants rapes them or stalks them or takes pictures of them. And then they're going to get accused of false alarms if they use that when the migrants are taking pictures of them. It seems that they will let the migrants get away with anything, right the way up to sexual assault, basically. I mean, they shouldn't be hanging around outside the school taking pictures of the schoolgirls as they leave the school, which they then send on to their relatives back in the Middle East to say, look, look at this, look, naked girls walking around in Britain. You can just pick one off the street. And that's what they will be sending to their friends back in the countries that they come from, which don't have the same protections for women that we do over here. And it seems because of this, I mean, it seems, well, we don't actually have any protections for women over here. The country isn't concerned about its women and its children, because it's quite happy to put these people that we know in some cases are 20 times more likely to rape than a white man. We're quite happy to put these people living near a school. I mean, it's quite shocking, this, that they think the answer to this is, oh, well, we'll just give the schoolgirls a rape alarm. What do you make of this, Grandpa?
Well, this highlights the fact that the people that are coming, you know, and how do I want to put this? To head off anybody that might say, oh, you're just being racist against these people coming, it's worth pointing out that the people that are coming are not the best and brightest from these areas. In other words, in these other countries, you know, this policy exists. Who are you going to send? You know, you're going to empty out your prisons and put these guys on a boat. Why are you going to spend money keeping the criminal element in your own population? So, in other words, what I'm saying is, this isn't, I think it's important to remember. We're not talking, this isn't even necessarily reflective of these people in general. If you're running one of these countries that these people come from, and you've got, you know, every society has a criminal element. Now, you can keep these people in prison for committing crimes in your country, or you can save that money and put them on a boat and send them to Europe and ultimately Britain or wherever they decide to wind up. It doesn't matter, because they're not your problem anymore. So, of course, that's what happens. We saw this here back like in the 80s, you know, they had the Cuban boat lift or whatever they call it. Basically, America said, anybody that wants to come from Cuba and escape the evil communist regime can come here. So Castro emptied the prisons and put them on a boat. You want them? You got them, buddy. You know, now the criminal element that would come, and it wasn't all criminals that came, but the criminal element that came wasn't necessarily reflective of the Cuban people. It just stands to reason that the ones that are going to get sent are not going to be the cream of the crop of those people. They're going to empty their prisons out and send the criminal element so they don't have to deal with them anymore. And that, again, that makes practical sense, you know, on their part. So you're getting the criminal element, because that's, you know, that's who you're going to send if you're from one of these other countries. And that's why you see this, you know, you're talking about the rapes and the murders and the things that happen, and people will lump that in and say, that's just how these people are. Well, yeah, I guess maybe I'm sounding devil's advocate here, but that's not necessarily correct. You have to understand the element that you're getting sent. You know, it is not necessarily reflective of those people as a group. They're sending their worst, because why wouldn't they? I would. If I was running that country, I would send you the same thing. You know, if I was running one of the countries these people came from, and y'all are going to bring these people in and welcome with open arms and pay for them, I'm not going to keep them in my prison and pay to feed them and shelter them and have guards watching over them. I'm going to put them on a boat, send them to Europe, send them to Britain. That's what I would do. You know, it's just makes sense. You want them, you got them. You know, you were talking about, Poland whining about Russia and Belarus sending these people in there. You know, at the same time, you have the EU always still trying to talk about diversity as your strength, and these people are going to be a great contribution. Hey, what are you complaining about? You know, you don't get to, you don't get to have it, you know, to have it both ways. And again, I realize this story is talking about Scotland, but I was sitting here while you were reading that, and you know, because we are talking, you know, about this general area and these different peoples, and I'm thinking, because they haven't, all of these areas are having the same problem over there. And you know, and I was thinking, you know, what if they were doing this in Ireland in the early 1980s? I wonder how long this would last. You know, I don't think it would last very long. So, again, they're bringing this in. There's more theater, pretending like, oh, we're trying to solve this very complicated. None of these problems are very complicated. You know, these governments are causing the problem, and now they're trying to escape any kind of responsibility by pretending they're fixing the problem. And as a final thing, they give out these rape alarms. And what is that supposed to do? If one of these girls gets accosted by a group of these guys and sets the alarm off, who's going to run to her rescue? Serious question. Who is going to come and help? And if she's surrounded by five of these dudes and they haven't touched her yet, it's very possible that if the police ran up and said, hey, are you being attacked? And she's like, no, but there's five of these guys following me around, and so I set my alarm off. Is it unrealistic that she could be arrested for some sort of racism crime? Because the guys would be like, man, I don't know. We're just walking down the street and she's a racist. And just because, you know, we're brown or black or whatever the case may be, she set that alarm off. And she, I would think in the UK, she would have a good likelihood of being arrested for some kind of hate crime. What's this supposed to do? It's another one of these, oh, we look like we're doing something. We hand you a rape alarm, but don't set it off. Maybe after the fact, hell, maybe even in the end, you know, if she points out, if she gets raped and gives a suspect description, is that going to be a hate crime? It's just more clown world theatrics. Set the alarm off. Who's going to come? Who's going to come running? Average citizen, what are they going to do? Probably get arrested for a hate crime. Go try to defend her. Maybe get arrested for a hate crime. The police show up. Maybe get arrested for a hate crime. Probably the real answer is nobody's going to show up. They're going to laugh while the alarm's going whoop, 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 and nobody comes. This is what a failure of a country looks like.
Well, in the worst case situation, and basing this on what we have seen happen in the past, when one of these migrants starts raping a girl, and a young schoolgirl, and the other migrants hear about it, the other migrants join in. So the worst case situation could be that they set the rape alarm off, and rather than it bringing people to rescue her, it brings in more people to attack her. As I say, that's a worst case scenario, but that is what we hear about happening. Or we hear about other migrants preventing other people from getting in to rescue the girl while she's being raped, if not just actually joining in themselves. And I think one point that we have to make here is these illegal immigrants that we see in the country, none of them have any wives with them. They're all unattached males. And you can just imagine that the ones that actually are here, take pictures of these schoolgirls, as we've just been told here, and they will send them back to their friends back in Pakistan or Afghanistan or Africa. And they'll say, look, if you can't get a girl over there, just come over here to Britain. They leave them unattended on the street. Look, here are some pictures to prove it to you. And you can just imagine them doing that. And that in itself becomes an incentive for these people to come to Britain. And I do fear that that does happen in some cases, that that's what they're doing. When they take these pictures of these schoolgirls, they're sending them back to the country that they've come from to say, look what it's like here. It's a paradise. There's all these young girls that are just left unattended on the street. You can just pick one up. And they're all walking around naked as well, because, of course, they're used to seeing girls covered up in burqas. They're not used to having to actually have any self-control over their actions before, because their culture is set up in a completely different way to our one. Their culture over there is all about preventing the man from having his passions aroused at all, whether our culture over here in the West is about the man having self-control over his passions. So whenever you hear of these migrants and they're in court, they most of the time they'll say, well, I believe the girl consented. You know, she was walking around half naked. She attracted me. It was the girl's fault. I feel guilty about this. It was her fault. She did this to me. And that's the way that they think about it, because they come from a completely different culture. But I do think the fact that we see all these single males coming over here part of that is because they think that there are loads of unattached, unattended young girls just waiting around on the street, waiting for them to pick up. And that's what it appears to me to be from hearing what some of these migrants say when they're in the dock for rape. Well, police confirmed to the newspaper that rape alarms had been distributed to two girls after they complained that they were having photos of them taken by the men without their permission. The mother said every single day these guys turn up just as the school is about to break for lunch and they hang around just to perv on the kids. Some of the girls have stopped going into the town as they feel so unsafe. There have been suggestions that the men have made crude comments to some of the kids. The police need to get a grip on this and start patrolling the town during these times, but they don't. We cannot get to a position where the answer to this issue is to give schoolgirls rape alarms and just hope that they don't get attacked. And you can see here where it says that they've been making crude suggestions to some of these kids. They're not used to having to deal with women or girls, and that they're seeing these girls as fertile girls that are looking for a man, and they're doing their equivalent of chatting them up by just making these crude comments to them, which is, you know, it's going to be very, very traumatic for a young girl, a schoolgirl, to have that happen to them. And then to be told, oh, well, here's an alarm. We'll give you an alarm, but we're not going to arrest any of these people. We're not going to remove them from this hotel. I mean, it just really drives it home, doesn't it, that white girls are right at the bottom of everybody's concerns. White boys are at the bottom of everybody's concerns. They're the ones that are least likely to do well at school, even though, or least likely to, the ones that are deprived are least likely to actually get somewhere, even though they have the highest IQ on average. And now you've got the young girls that are least likely to be cared about because our government just ends up putting these migrants in hotels right next to their school. And our police won't even arrest them. What do you think would happen if it was in Afghanistan and there was somebody that was caught taking pictures of schoolgirls or was making crude comments to them? You know, the likelihood is that they would end up being hanged, but not over here. They won't even be arrested over here. Oh,
yeah, but they probably wouldn't even call the authorities. The girls' families would handle it because that's the way they do. And it's interesting that you pointed out the cultural difference, because I think it's also worth pointing out that if you look for pictures from, say, 100 years ago or so, you know, British culture used to not be like what it is now. You know, if you look at the way some of these young women walk around dressed, they didn't walk around dressed like that. In other words, if you went back, say, I don't know, I'm just going to pick a date, 1876 in Britain, and you had young women walking around dressed like young women dress on average today, like they're probably talking about, and I don't know the exact, you know, maybe they have school uniforms and it's not that way, but you know what I'm talking about. I would think that they would get some remarks as well from the British that were living there. In other words, it's worth pointing out, I think, that the culture has declined. In fact, it's not culture, it's a lack of culture. Britain and Scotland and these places, all these places used to have a culture. What you see now, this trashy culture in America, I'm not just dogging on the UK because America's probably even worse. It's not a culture. It is just a degeneracy. And one of the fundamental things I think I observe in this world we live in is a balance. You know, the creation we live in is designed for balance, and things will go back into balance. British culture didn't promote this sort of thing just a mere 100 or so years ago, but that's the norm now, and that's not the norm. That's out of balance. And in a sense, even as offensive as it may be that these people are here and making comments and doing these things, in a sense, that's a natural order. That's a world recreating balance. Because what's going to happen, as you said, rape alarms aren't going to be the answer. What will inevitably happen is what? Well, the young women will start covering up. They will start dressing moderately. Male family members will start going with them to keep them safe. And that gets closer to these other people's culture, which is not that different from the native British culture was, say, 100 or so years ago. There's still a difference, obviously. And they would probably be left alone because they say, oh, well, this woman's not available. She's covered up. She's being escorted by either a husband, a brother, a father, a family member. And that computes with them and says, oh, well, that's not somebody, you know, you're not going to bother them. So I'm sorry. I said it before on one of our other shows. I think Islamic law may actually be the UK's hope for the future. It'll be a tough adjustment. But yeah, I mean, if you wound up with Islamic law, like you said, this sort of behavior would actually be handled. So it's not. I'm trying to give you a silver linings, fan. You see, it's not all bad.
Well, it's, you know, you make a good point there. I mean, just 100 years ago, women used to wear a bonnet, which would cover up their hair. You would see their face and you would see their hands, and that was it. Everything else was covered up. As I say, even the hair with a bonnet. So you would actually see their faces, which I guess is like in Iran. They all they have to do over there is wear a headscarf, and they have to dress moderately. So the only bit of flesh that you might see is their hands. And that was the same in Britain 100 years ago. And I mean, we could end up seeing this, Grandpa. We could end up seeing this, women or girls starting to dress a bit more moderately and being accompanied by men. Basically, we would have to do that to protect our women from these other cultures, which have a completely different way of dealing with the male sexual urge than we have over here. Again, it's just mixing the two different cultures, mixing two different people together or more is just a recipe for disaster. It always has been. Well, the hotel in Dumfries has seen protests erupt outside after a man being housed there was arrested following a child protection concern. Scottish Conservative MSP Craig Hoy described the reports as deeply alarming. He said, "It is shocking that we have reached a point where girls have had to be given alarms to keep them safe from potential threats from migrants. Authorities must give locals urgent reassurance that they are robustly monitoring these individuals." Mr. Hoy has called for the closure of the Dumfries Hotel, which was handed a Home Office contract in 2023, which means it was handed its contract under the Conservatives, the same party that Mr. Hoy is a member of. And this hotel is said to cater exclusively for single men. So it's a shame that he didn't call for this hotel to be shut down when he was actually in power. He was part of the government that actually put them in this hotel. Meanwhile, a spokesman for Police Scotland said the force had failed to establish any criminality nearby, although they did arrest a 19-year-old a month later. In January, officers carried out inquiries following the report of two men acting suspiciously in the Dumfries area. No criminality was established, he said. So they're saying it's okay for these men to make crude comments to schoolgirls. It's okay for them to hang around outside the school and take pictures of them in their school uniforms and send them on to the countries that they come from. There's no criminality in that. So they've given them rape alarms to deal with the problem. I mean, it really is a sad indictment of the current British establishment, I think. Grandpa, any final thoughts on this?
I'm glad you pointed out that it was brought in under the, you know, this stuff happened under the Tories, because it always gets me when these politicians like this Craig Hoy comes out and they act like, you know, he's an MP, and they act like, you know, they're bystanders. You know, how did this happen? Oh my God, this is just outrageous. You know, it's like, you're not average Joe on the street. What are you doing about it? It's like literally your job to do something about this. What are you doing? Instead, they try to act like they're part of the peanut gallery. Well, it's deeply alarming. And then this word salad, it is shocking that we have reached a point where girls have to be given alarms to keep them safe from potential threats from migrants. Authorities must give locals urgent reassurance. That's the answer. Urgent reassurance. Exactly what does that mean? It doesn't mean anything. This is just, he wants to sound like he's doing something. They are robustly monitoring these individuals, robustly monitoring. What does that mean? It doesn't mean anything. Don't break your brain trying to figure out. I'm going to spoil it for you. Don't break your brain trying to figure out what urgent reassurance and robustly monitoring means, because it doesn't mean anything. This is just a politician pretending like he's doing something, acting like, you know, oh, yeah, we're on it. And they're not doing a damn thing. Robust monitoring. Oh, reassurance. None of the, give me a concrete definition of what you're actually talking about doing. If we had a real, if you had a real independent functioning media, these politicians, no matter where they are, because they all do this stupid crap, they wouldn't be able to do this because somebody would hold them to account. You know, they would make these statements to the media and you would have actual reporters instead of stenographer journalists. You would have actual reporters stop and say, wait, what does that mean? What do you mean reassurances, robust monitoring? What are you actually talking about doing? Because you're not just Joe Blow on the street saying your opinion. You're somebody that has some authority that could actually do. What are you talking about doing? And they would hold them. They couldn't answer, of course, because it's just garbage to sound like they're actually trying to do something when they're not. So, yeah, it can't go on. It's not. This sort of thing is not sustainable. Who's going to keep participating? And you're seeing the fractures all over. You know, Germany as an example. They just came out, and this is not a tangent. It's to point to what I mean when I say these systems can't survive when they lose legitimacy. Germany is now talking about they're trying to pass a law forbidding German males, and we know who they're talking about, actual German males, from leaving the country for longer than 3 months because we might need you to go into the army to go fight a war. Well, if I'm a German male, I'm just going to leave and not come back. Well, what are they going to do? You know, if you do lose legitimacy, then who's going to come fight your wars for you? It starts breaking down, and you're going to see this continue to break down, whether it's in the UK, Germany, the US. As the legitimacy breaks down, people are going to quit participating, and they need the people to participate. So this is what we're seeing. You're seeing all of it break down, and that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Why isn't he calling for them to be deported? I mean, yeah, you make a good point there. What does he mean by urgent reassurance? The authorities must urgently reassure them. What, so the school has to say to the children, oh, it's going to be okay. You've got the rape alarms there. I mean, what do they mean by reassure them? Tell them, oh, well, it's only probably 1 in 100 of these migrants that actually rapes or murders somebody. The Afghans are only 20 times more likely to sexually assault you than the normal white man on the street. It could be worse, couldn't it? I mean, they could be 40 or 50 times more likely to rape you. They're only 20 times more likely to rape you. Is that what they mean by reassurances? Urgent reassurances. I mean, what reassurances can you give them that will actually mean anything other than we're going to remove these potential rapists and we're going to put your safety above the wishes of these illegal immigrants? I mean, that's what they want to hear. Not urgent reassurances that everything's going to be all right. Here you are, have a rape alarm. We're monitoring them. Well, you're effectively monitoring everybody in society, aren't you? Why aren't these people being singled out? Why are these people being put there in the first place? It's a sad indictment of British society. I don't think Shabnam Mahmood is going to get a handle on it, and I don't think the next Home Secretary will get a handle on it either. Whether they're white or brown or Jewish, it doesn't matter. They're not going to solve this problem. As far as I'm aware, the only people that are talking the sort of things that need to be said in order to solve this problem is Rupert Lowe's Restore Party. So if you want to do something politically, join Rupert Lowe's Restore Party. If you want to do something within the community, join Patriotic Alternative. Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Grandpa. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.